A new study finds certain words can signal how stressed out you feel. And Steve, they may not be the words that first come to your mind.
Yes, you know which ones come to mind for me.
The research could potentially help doctors better identify people at risk of stress-related diseases. I talked with Matthias Mell, a psychology professor at the University of Arizona. He led the study, and he started by explaining why he and several other scientists focused on words.
When we use words, we typically use the words very deliberately to convey an idea. So we use words that carry meaning, that carry the content. Those we choose very consciously. But then we fill the gaps around that, the syntax, the structure, with function words, words that don't inherently carry meaning or content. And those function words have previously been shown to really convey a lot about the speaker's psychological states and traits.
When you say function words, what do you mean? Can you give me some examples?
So function words, for example, are pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, prepositions, things that, again, inherently don't mean anything. When I say the or when I say very, you don't know what I'm talking about. It only makes sense in the context of a content word. So when I say I'm so very sad, then I use two function words. Actually, I use a lot more the pronoun as well. But very, so very sad qualifies the content, the sad, the so, and the very. And this is what we looked at, how these function words convey psychological meaning above and beyond the content that people are trying to express.
Talk a little bit about the study and how it worked. Who was involved and how did you hear what they were saying?
That's a good question. So what we did is we equipped 143 healthy adults from the Atlanta area with little recording devices. We call them the electronically activated recorder or EAR. And what these devices do, they periodically record brief snippets of ambient sounds, typically about 30 seconds, five or six times an hour, unbeknownst to the participants. So the participants know that there's a chance that what they say may be recorded, but they never know exactly when the device is recording. So over the course of 2 days, we get soundbite by soundbite a snapshot of what the participant was doing and saying. And these more than 20,000 audio clips that we got this way from the 143 adults, we transcribed to get a good sense of how participants were talking to other people directly in their daily lives.
Your team compared language with white blood cell activity. Can you talk about that, why, and the significance?
That seems a bit of a stretch, right, in some way. But we really were interested in how personal expression at the level of the word use relates to gene expression. So we know that our immune system is very responsive to kind of perceived environmental threat. When the immune system is anticipating vulnerability and hostile contact, then the immune system needs to be prepared. And preparation in that sense usually is a pro-inflammatory readiness. And this perception or this awareness of environmental threat is also something that language use tracks. We know that when people undergo stressful life circumstances, we know that their pronoun use shifts. Usually it spikes in use of first-person singular. We know that their adverb use changes, that broadly speaking, their function word changes. So function words nicely track at more or less an automatic level this implicit stress detection system that's there, and so does the immune system, and that's why we relate the two together.
It seems like people use a lot of filler words anyway, just in normal conversation, right? I added mm-hmm. right there because that's sort mm-hmm. of what's become a filler word that a lot of people use. Younger people get sort of tagged a lot for saying like in sentences a lot. Mm-hmm. So how do you know that the function words were actually a sign of stress and not just the way people are talking today?
That's a good question. I mean, they don't just use more function words in total. They really use a different pattern of function words. So it turns out that filler words we tracked as well, and they happen to be not predictive of this inflammatory readiness that we measured. The word categories that we did find to be predictive was, for example, a high use of adverbs. And adverbs are linguistically often used as intensifiers, like really, very, so or incredibly. So they intensify something. So we, at that point, I mean, this was the finding. We tracked, we correlated adverb use as we had measured it from people's daily lives with these gene expression profiles that we had gotten from a blood draw. And these variables tend to be related. We then inferred at somewhat of a speculative level that these intensifiers, these adverbs, would likely signal some sort of emotional intensification that then shows up in the immune system.
What do you hope others take away from the research?
What I think to me the aspect is that we often pay attention to what people say. And I think what the study shows is that some key aspects of our well-being, in this case our biological well-being, the way our immune system responds, is sensitive to not only what people are saying, but also how they're expressing it. So really paying attention to what people say, but also kind of listening between the lines how things are said.
That was Matea Smell, psychology professor at the University of Arizona.